Good evening. It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Yeah. Can you turn to Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20? Philippians 1, 19 through 20. Paul says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death." Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, she once said, "I've never considered divorce. Murder, yes, but not divorce." Mary and I are coming up on a milestone in April. 15 years, Mary? No, that's 30. You may be wondering why she stayed with me and how. Let me give you a little history. We met when we were both stationed in the Air Force in Germany. We got married literally 12 weeks after our first date. So for our honeymoon, we decided to take a long weekend and rent a car and drive down the Rhine River. Mary, she worked in the ER at the hospital, and she just came off a 12-hour shift at 7 o'clock that morning. I picked her up. We went down the Rhine River. We went sightseeing. We got to the hotel a little late that afternoon, that night. So keep in mind, she's been up almost 24 hours. I'm getting the luggage out of the car, and Mary shuts the trunk with my head still in it. Mary slept pretty well that night. My focus once I regained consciousness was, who in the world did I marry? She's kept me focused throughout our marriage with these little accidents. There was a golf club to my head, a perfect roundhouse kick to the left side of my face when she was asleep, and two Christmases ago, she shot me with a BB gun. I think God and Mary have a really good sense of humor, and they've kept me focused through this marriage. Now, you may be wondering what this story has to do with Philippians 1:19 through 20. Well, let me read verse 20 again. It says, "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or death." According to my earnest expectation. In Greek, that phrase carries the idea that you're watching or focused on something so closely that your head turns away from everything else. To turn away from the less important things and focus on what matters most. Or to put it simply, to stop focusing on this world and focus on Christ. Focus. The human eye is a sense organ, right? It allows vision by reacting to light. The cornea and the lens are both important for the eye to focus light. The eye needs light to see. The eye needs light to focus. We need Christ to see. We need the light of this world, which is Christ, to focus. Because why? It's a dark world, isn't it? We as Christians, we know this. There's abortion. There's murder. Drugs, suicide, crime, divorce. Same-sex marriage. Sexual immorality. The destruction of gender. All the way down to just a simple lie and distorting the truth. How do we focus when Satan trying to distort the truth that's found in God's Word? You can start at Genesis 1:1 and read even just the first 11 chapters, and you can see where Satan is spouting the same lies today. Read Genesis. Read it again, and you will be amazed at how Satan is convincing the world, and not just the world, convincing Christians that Genesis is a lie. It's a made-up story. Just a fairy tale. Genesis is the basis of our faith. If he can disprove Genesis, then what's he saying? He's calling Christ a liar, right? Plain and simple. And if Jesus is lying, the whole Bible's a farce. Christ referred to Genesis as well as the Old Testament, did he not? 2 years ago, there was a popular preacher. He claimed in a sermon that Christians should unhitch themselves from the Old Testament. Separate it. Don't worry about the Old Testament. Just study the New. Let me tell you some things, excuse me, that you would be unhitching yourself from just in Genesis. In the beginning, God. Genesis 1:1, right? And listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John pointing back to Genesis, right? Talking about Christ. And the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's Genesis 1-2. That's the Trinity right there. Just right there in Genesis. You're also unhitching yourself from the 7 days of creation. Time, matter, space, and energy. Creation of man and woman. Male and female. Sin, prophecy, the establishment of marriage and family. The genealogy of Christ. Establishment of nations and languages, sacrifices, shedding of blood, God's plan of salvation and eternal life, just to name a few. But guess what you're unhitching yourself from? Christ's return. But in as the days of Noah, Jesus said to his disciples. And in Genesis 6:5, it said, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." His focus was on evil. And Jesus went on to tell his disciples that, "For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark." That's not as grim, is it? Those sound like fun times too, don't they? Eating and drinking and marrying, we love those. Listen to what Paul says. He says, he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:32, he says, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." You ever heard that before? It's a battle cry, really. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Look, if there was no resurrection, no eternal life, no truth in Genesis, the Old Testament, or the Scripture as a whole, if there was not a Savior, then we can just live like beasts for the pleasures of this world and we can just die, right? Carpe diem, seize the day, right? What are you eating and drinking in today's society? Is it taking your focus away from Christ? Did you know that our eyes focus on 50 different objects a second? I couldn't focus that long enough to count 50 different objects in 1 second. Much less a minute, probably. Let me tell you some things that hinder my focus on Christ. Maybe you can relate. Focusing during chaos or trials, right? Trying to keep my focus on Christ during hectic and chaotic days or weeks or months, maybe even years. During these times, it's hard to maintain my focus on Christ. What does James say? James says to count it all joy. Right off the bat in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Brethren, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." The theme of Philippians, if you will, is joy. Jesus, ourselves, and then you. Right? Joy. Look, when God wakes you up in the middle of the night to get your focus and to pray through your trial when you're holding up a door jam and your heart's beating out of your chest, that's joy. You don't realize it, but that's joy. It's joy in faith, joy in patience, joy in being complete and lacking nothing. It's joy in Christ, it's joy at the cross. Amen? Let me tell you some other things that takes away my focus. Laziness, right? Laziness with a capital L. Proverbs 19:15 says, laziness, or yours might say slothfulness, sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Have you ever heard the joke, why did the sloth cross the road? Nobody knows, he never got across, right? I can always do, and I can always do more for Christ. But not if I'm sitting at home on the couch, dreaming of what could be, eating and drinking the things of the world instead of feasting on the Word of God. I think Matthew Henry says it best. He says this about laziness. An idle soul, one that is idle in the affairs of his soul, that takes no cares or pains to work out his salvation, shall perish for want of that which is necessary to the life and happiness of the soul. Paul says in Philippians 2:12, he tells us, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, don't waste the gifts that the good Lord gave you. It's simple, time management, right? That's a big word today in your office, in businesses. Hey, at 9:30, I go get a cup of coffee. I'm back at my desk at 9:35. That's pretty good time management, isn't it? Most of the days. Am I taking the time to study His Word? I get 2 15-minute breaks. Am I taking time to talk to the one who gave me salvation? I get an hour for lunch. Christ asked Peter and the sons of Zebedee, He said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? I think He asked me, hey Matt, 30 minutes? 15? 5? He asked mainly, for our lack of concern and our lack of focus on the sufferings of Christ. I'm worse than Peter and the sons of Zebedee. My desire is to focus and to get closer to Christ. But I give in to the troubles of the day, or I really give in to the pleasures of the day sometimes. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll start on Monday. January 1st isn't far away, right? Here's my favorite. I don't know what to do. God has gone silent. How many of us have said that? I'll just sit back and wait. Because look, I read Psalm 27:14. That's a popular verse, right? It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now don't get me wrong, we are to wait on the Lord. But that's the last verse that David wrote in chapter 27. Read the first 13 verses before that. He says, the Lord is my light, my salvation and strength. He says to offer sacrifices of joy. There's that word again, right? Joy. He says to seek and focus on the face of the Lord. David is praying to God and he says, don't leave me. Take care of me. Teach me. Lead me. Then he says, wait. It's an active wait. An active wait on your knees in the Word while you're focusing on Christ and His sufferings of the cross. You can't do this lazy and scared with no desire sitting at home waiting for God. Believe me, I've tried. Satan doesn't want you actively waiting for God. He wants you silent. So what am I focusing on? You can ask me, what am I focusing on? Matt, what are you focusing on? I'll ask myself. Well, Paul gives us the answer in chapter 4. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. These two verses have been called the briefest biography of Christ. Biography of Christ. It's where I focus on Christ. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, Meditate on these things. King James Version says think or focus. He goes on to say, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? How can I focus on all this? How? He answers it in verse 13, does he not? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a popular verse with athletes, right? My athletic days are over, so I believe he's talking to all of us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ, in Christ, in His will, whatever God has in store for Matt, whatever God's will is for me, I can do it because Christ lives in me. Christ supplies the power to do it, correct? It requires my focus. It requires that I turn away from the world and I have an intense anticipation. I have that earnest expectation to do the things of Christ. The things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue and praiseworthy. That's Christ, right? That's where I'm at. I could go further. I can do more to focus. That's where I'm at, though. One last thing before I close. As I was studying for tonight, I was reading J. Vernon McGee's commentary on Philippians 1:20. I love getting his perspective. He focused on the word ashamed. And hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He didn't want to be ashamed when he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He referenced 1 John 2:28, and that says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Wow, that hits you like a ton of bricks, doesn't it? Listen to what J. Vernon McGee says about this. He says, "There are too many people who are talking about the coming of the Lord, but are not ready for the coming of the Lord." You may ask, aren't they saved? Yes, they are saved. But I'm afraid they will be ashamed at His appearing. Their lives do not commend the gospel. Pretty much sums that up, doesn't it? And Paul sums up this chapter and pretty much the whole book of Philippians in Philippians 1:21, the next verse, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let's keep our focus on Christ. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for a beautiful day, Lord. We thank You for a beautiful Savior. Lord, I pray that You would help us to keep our focus on You in this chaotic world, Lord. Help us just to turn to You, the light of the world. We thank You that You sent Your Son to die on the cross, Lord. We thank You for that eternal life. And we just pray as we go out this week that we would be fishers of men for You, Lord, and that we would spread Your word. And we pray for the lost. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.